from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Sitting in the host.
You're the host with the mostest. Today I am the guest. I'm taking almost like a mental break from atheism for a little while. Ryan's on a trip, and I just decided, okay, I'm feeling a little burned out. You know, two shows a week just on atheism
starts to
wear thin. You're like, I want to think about boobies for a while. I want to stop reading on religion. Can I take a break? It's like my brain's like, come on, man. You want to think about stupid stuff for a while.
I want to enjoy a video game.
Well, it's really funny, too, because the other half of my existence is Fight Linker stuff. And that's just the height of, you know, immature, dumb stuff. So, I mean, usually that's my other half. That's my break. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the weird thing. I actually need it to even me out, or else I get too deep into the fucking atheist shit, and I guess it just depresses the crap out of me.
The world sucks.
It was like, oh no.
But you need the Lord.
I want to talk about a little opening story here. Now, this is for longtime listeners who are aware that there is a cat in this apartment, and I don't share the best relationship with that cat. Maybe, I don't know what it is. I don't really like pets, but pets seem to love me. Like, they'll sleep on my clothing. They will go on everything. Like, I must have some kind of crazy pheromones that cats like or something like that. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's been like that my entire life.
They can sense that you don't like them.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah, they antagonize you. Cats are like that.
Yeah, they antagonize you. And, like, it was the same when I was a kid. I remember we went to one of my mom's friends, and she was a crazy cat lady. She had, like, 20 cats, and they all surrounded me. At one point, they're all lying on top of me or something like that.
That's like a traumatic childhood memory.
I think maybe that's why I don't like cats.
I think so.
They almost suffocated me, those bastards. They almost suffocated me with cuddling. It could have been deadly.
By snuggling.
It's still death.
It's
still fucking death.
It's like death by candy is still not something that I would like.
I don't want any death by anything. Yes. Unfortunately, there's human beings. We have so far a 100% mortality rate.
You could be
it's something
exception.
That I'm trying to sort of like resolve, you know?
You could be the exception.
Well, according to some, there is one exception. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Jeffrey.
That's true.
He came back. He totally came back.
When did he do that? I must have been sleeping.
You know what? This week it doesn't matter because I swore...
We swore off swearing off Jesus.
We're done for this week, you know? Right. The Jesus stuff, I'm putting that on the back burner. I'm a little sick.
You're gonna hang up the Jesus stuff?
Yeah, hang up the Jesus glove. You know, maybe I'm going to take up the Muhammad gloves. But today, the gloves that I want to put on are a little bit different. We're going to start off with a surprise story, one that you haven't prepared for. It's one on voodoo. I don't know if you actually went to the site the other day.
I saw a Twitter on it right before I left. She like burned her kid there.
Yes, that's right. There's a woman in Queens, New York, who basically set her child ablaze. No. This was Queens. This was Queens, New York, and she believes in hoodoo. So she believes in the voodoo religion. And she thought that her daughter was possessed by a demon. So she doused her in rum. And
that she happened to have in the house.
Doused a circle of it, you know, because it's like a specific ritual of some kind. Gite something, I don't know. I don't know what the hell the name is.
Okay, like in a symbol kind of thing? Or
it's like a
protection.
Exactly. All that fucking bullshit. You're like, well, let's create a circle of protection of fire. You're like, let's not do anything with fire. But apparently... once doused her, lit her up, and after, I don't know how long she burned for, you know, because these things are difficult to measure. I would assume 1 second is probably too much.
I would say that. I would agree. I would agree.
You would agree with me that
I would agree that setting someone ablaze for even a second is too much.
And the grandmother puts her out with water. They send the little kid off to bed.
To bed?
To bed. That's right. Now, they did not
that's
send
not
her to...
That's not hospital bed.
No,
that's
no, no.
Bed.
No, no, that's the bed. Only the next day did another relative sort of like, suggest that perhaps it was time to take the kid to, the hospital. Now, at first, the authorities didn't do anything, but they were very suspicious because the explanation of the mother was that she had been surprised by her child and had dropped boiling water on her, but it did not explain the fact that 25% of her body had second to third degree burns. And they let her agonize in her bed the entire night. Now, the only reason that the truth finally came out is they were suspicious and they put her up with a foster family. She told the foster family what had happened, and that now the mother's facing like 25 years in jail.
Good on her.
She's blaming the grandmother, by the way.
How?
Saying that,
why?
She's basically saying that she wasn't aware that the kid was burned at all. Like,
she set her on fire.
She denies it that it happened. She says there was no fire setting. That's just silly. She do that? Why? No, why indeed? She sets her on fire, but she claims that did not happen. Now,
wow.
I say stick to your religion. Stick to your guns. Fuck you. You're gonna Welsh now? I mean, you went all the way to set your own daughter ablaze. Stand up for what you believe in, lady.
you'd think if you're willing to do that, then the conviction, like the courage of your convictions is like, you should be able to step forward and be like, you know what? Yeah, I did.
I did
and
it.
And I'd do it again.
I'd do it again. You know what? Here's what I think.
This time for 2 seconds.
Now, I know that you want to know what I think. This is very important.
I can't go a day without knowing what you think, Jacob.
Honestly. Here's what I think. I have to wonder how many relationships between mothers and daughters take a turn for the more fucked up when the mothers themselves believe in these weird superstitious things. Because, I've seen a lot of dysfunctional, mother-daughter relationships in my days. I believe I've slept with many women that have had these kinds of problems. They're typically very hot. They're very hot, usually.
I will take your word.
They're a little bit messed up, though. I've stopped dating them.
Like that girl on that video you had.
The girl in the video? What, you're saying some of the...
talking to the... the only thing I remember about that whole clip is at the end of the thing, she's like, you see that bird up there? She's a slut. That was like the funniest thing.
The bird?
She's the one who was talking about the, like, living forever. Like, I think she was French and she was smoking a joint and talking
Hot chick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't refer to her by her family name.
I don't know her name yet.
Oh, okay.
It's just hot atheist chick.
Hot atheist chick. Okay, well, yes. Hot atheist chick. Yes, I forgot where I was going. Continue.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tell me what you think.
So, okay, all right. I've already mentioned that I think that there's definitely lots of really fractured relationships. But I have to imagine that there's a few of them that think, well, the reason my daughter is so disobedient and rebellious must be because of a demon. And not because there is any sort of like problem with a relationship. And not because she's her own person and with a free spirit. No, this is truly the work of a demon.
Evil.
And therefore, I must burn her. Burn her, and that will chase the demons away.
So her intention, because here's my question is, when you're burning someone, did she think that she would burn just the demon and her daughter would be unscathed?
No, I don't think that they're that delusional. Like, I'm pretty sure they know that it's going to hurt.
So like the sacrifice. So it's basically like, this is for your own good. I'm setting you on fire.
Well, look, there are plenty of religions where there's a certain level of pain that you have to go through. I mean, think about the rituals in Africa where, a boy has to fucking, antagonize a lion in order to become a man. Some will not survive. Like, not everyone who entices a lion or who fucking, attacks a wasp's nest. This is another popular one. Not all of them survive. There will be casualties. And I guess back in the day, these kinds of trials were probably pretty important. Like, trial by fire. Maybe that's what that is. Showing your faith, I guess. But I think that these are just cruel and sadistic. I mean, I don't want to get anyone to have to go through that kind of pain to do anything. Like, even if there were evil spirits, do we really have to do it that way?
No.
Burning? Like, honestly? Like, burning. I mean, I've heard of some fucking fucked up exorcisms, but this takes the cake here. Burning. I can't think of many other things that would be as bad as burning.
Yeah, it's pretty high up there on the fucked up meter.
Yeah, the
I'm
more...
like trying to think of like, no, well, there's drowning, I guess.
No. It's traumatic, but I mean, what is more traumatic than being on fire? Because you don't really easily overcome scars from being burned. In fact, I'm pretty sure she's going to be scarred for the rest of her life. I mean, you don't think anyone's ever going to ask her, hey, what's the deal with your face? What happened there?
What's up with your face?
People are not always the most courteous, I guess.
That's
what I'm trying to say. Enough of that fucked up situation. Let's move on to something a little bit.
Another fucked up situation.
Oh, man. Fucked up. I mean, I don't. I take breaks sometimes from sort of like bad-mouthing certain religions. For now, Christians, you can fucking breathe easy. We're going to leave you alone. But right now, today, my target is fucking Scientology. And I wanted you to read up on it because it there was kind of like an item in the news that reminded me of it. It was like
the
that's,
beatdown.
Yeah. Project Beatdown. Maybe that's the best way to fucking call it. Basically, the story is that the high-ranking leader of the Church of Scientology is named by a man by the name of David Miscavige. And he's been, I don't know, the leader for, I think, 10 years or something. A little while, you know. You can look at him. He's got that fucking, you know, crew cut. Looks like, you know, looks like your average whitey, you know, sort of kiss-ass business type. Anyways, it turns out that this guy is a bit of a violent maniac. And four high-ranking church officials quit, and I've been accused him of basically physically torturing people, you know, attacking them for violations ranging from not answering questions fast enough to looking at him funny.
Yeah, looking at
what kind of a messed up bully here is the head of this organization? Now, obviously, the guy's denying it. And by denying it, I mean giant teams of lawyers are being dispatched as we
are
speak.
Are they, like, scouring the internet to, like, remove everything for copyright somehow?
Well, I mean, who knows?
They're kind of screwed with the whole Wikipedia thing, though. They we'll live on in Wikipedia.
Well, here's the interesting thing about becoming a religion when you're recognized is when it kind of becomes a little bit harder to keep a hold on your copyrighted materials. You know, there are not many, well, there are no other religions that claim copyright on really anything.
This is our holy book. You can't have it.
Well, here's what's funny. I was doing a little bit of digging around because I want to understand Scientology more than I do now. I mean, I know already quite a bit, but I mean, it is a very mysterious organization because one of the things that I learned is that there is so much vocabulary that you need to learn in this fucking religion. Well, religion.
Careful.
No, I'm gonna call it religion because it qualifies. It's one now. You have to, sorry Christians, I know that you fucking hate the fact that it is one, but it is one. Just like you making crazy claims. But anyways,
we're gonna lay off the Christians, Jake.
Okay, but let me start with a very basic right back to the beginning with the use of the word incidents. Okay, now this is, if you study Scientology, you will find this word mentioned quite a bit. And an incident can mean a lot of things. they seem to mean at least the way that L. Ron Hubbard intended, space opera moments, if you will, in the gigantic span of time that apparently the universe has existed. How long, you may ask? Well, try 70, 10 to the power of 85 years. That's trillion, 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 trillion. I don't know if I want to say that many trillions, but
it's a big number.
It's
bigger than 6,000.
They went the other way with that. They went really, really far back. You know, the universe, 14 billion years. You know, when looking at it from the chronicle of L. Ron Hubbard, however, 14 billion years is a drop in the bucket. Nothing happens in that span of time. Like, you know, it's just that's kiddie play. L. Ron Hubbard's all about the old school. Old
to the, what, 78th power?
85th
power.
Yeah.
That's old.
10 to the 85th power, just to give you an idea of how big that number is, there are fewer atoms in the universe than that number. That's how big that number is. I think the amount of atoms end up being 10 to the power of 70. So it is very many magnitudes of order larger than all of the atoms of the universe. So that's the, if you can wrap your head around that number, that's what that is. 10 to the power of 85.
Can I assume it was just arbitrary and he was just like, it's really old. This sounds magnificent and sci-fi-ish.
Well, you know what? Here's what's not surprising about L. Ron Hubbard's work. You ever hear about how they use mathematical algorithm to calculate if there's fraud going on in books and stuff like that in companies? Do you know what they do?
No, I don't.
They have a very simple program. It looks for numbers that keep repeating. And one of the most popular numbers that people keep repeating is the number 7. 7 and 1, for some weird reason, we always like to include them. If you look at the books and that number, you know, sort of like comes up in an inappropriate number of times, like more than what you would expect randomly, then you know that the books have probably been cooked. So, you know, the number 7 appears innumerable times in Scientology. It's not surprising. It's just like a bad accountant. Let me think of some numbers. Seven. I like seven. I like it a lot. And not coincidentally, 75 million years ago, the mythology is that Xenu basically had a population crisis.
Right? Okay, right.
And he decided that he was going to kill about roughly half the population of the universe. So he packs all these billions of people. I guess the population is only a few billion. I don't know. It doesn't really sound that overpopulated, honestly. It's like the universe is really big. A couple billion people.
Well, back then it wasn't as big.
It's true. It must have been a lot smaller. You know,
exactly.
Many, many trillions of years ago. Trillions, the power of trillions.
Yes. I'm on the verge of giving him credibility. I don't like it. This is scary, Jacob.
No. You don't worry about that. Right. Yeah, As we continue, I'm sure you're going
to... I've tried to wrap my head around this story. Like, go ahead, but okay. Yeah, I get...
So basically what he does is he kidnaps the population and he gives them a mixture of, I believe it's glycol and alcohol, which I think L. Ron Hubbard thinks puts everyone in a cryostasis. Usually it'll just either get you drunk or kill you, depending on what kind of alcohol it is. But that's not the point. I don't know alien DNA, presumably L. Ron Hubbard does. So these creatures in suspended animation are put into volcanoes, stacked in volcanoes, and then those volcanoes are detonated using hydrogen bombs. Oh, wait. I forgot to mention that the spaceships that they go to the planet Earth, known as Tijiak, with many E's. I believe there are six E's in that Tijiak. Anyway.
Seven. Seven E's. We're applying sevens here.
But apparently the spaceships look almost identical to DC-8s, but without propellers, and that's L. Ron Hubbard's own words. Okay, moving on. The bodies are now dead. Apparently the hydrogen bombs and the volcanoes are enough to kill aliens. That's the secret formula. And the spirits, the thetans, because all spirits are essentially thetans. You're the reincarnated, you know, you're reincarnated thetan. You don't remember your past lives. Because he took those aliens and he basically brainwashed them for 33 days. He kidnapped the souls and made them watch videos.
Of old England.
Of modern day England, which was then in the 1950s. God, devil, angels, and a spinning dancer. Spinning dancer. And just spinning in general. So apparently these are important things that thetans need to watch in order for them to forget about their past lives and past trillion and so on. Anyways, fast forward to 1950, where L. Ron Hubbard is the first human to be able to understand and cross the psychic barrier, is the only way I could probably describe it. This wall of fire that he describes to be this massive spiritual block that L. Ron Hubbard is the first man in 75 million years to be able to pierce through that block and understand the basis of all disease and all doubt in the human mind. And so he writes the Dianetics, which is an instruction manual for how to improve your mind using vitamins and things of the sort and psychic tricks. Now, here's the interesting thing about L. Ron Hubbard Dianetics, or at least his techniques. Now, if you've ever seen any of the techniques used, it's you've seen some of the videos, right?
We're talking about like the brainwashing techniques.
Well, I mean, okay, let's not use the word brainwashing, because I don't think that there is no such thing as brainwashing. Okay,
right.
I do believe that individuals can be influenced, but to some degree, people are usually willing participants unless they're under duress or kidnapped. Like, there is something about them that they already believe. If you don't believe someone, it doesn't matter how many times they tell you to believe, you won't believe them. So you can't just indoctrinate someone who does not want to be. That's a fucking cop-out, okay? To some degree, you're responsible. But, all right, let's talk about their...
Techniques.
Their techniques. What did you see? Breakdown.
From what I remember there was the staring contests.
Yeah, that happens
an hour and a half of just staring, and then they'll like hit you up for more lessons after these sessions. They'll be like, now that you've done this staring and are kind of disoriented and very tired, here's sign up for these more lessons.
Well, you know, here's basically Let's start. I want to move back a little bit. I want to talk about auditing. Now, you've
oh,
you've
the
seen
e-meter.
The e-meter.
Yeah.
You probably wonder, okay, what do you think the e-meter does?
Well, it measures, because you've explained this to me, but am I supposed to be the dopey assistant?
No. I want to know your honest opinion.
From what I remember, it just measures some kind of electrical response in the body, and whenever there's an emotional response, it affects how the meter will move. It doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be like a... You know, like it won't identify if it's a happy or a sad emotion, just if it's a strong response, sort of.
Well, I was doing a little bit more digging since then, and the e-meter functions in a really, really basic principle. Actually, anybody can make an e-meter, really. All it does is it measures what's called the galvanic skin response, and that's just basically how conductive your skin is. And the thing that changes conductivity the most is wetness. Mm-hmm. Now, it's assumed that when your palms are wet that you must be nervous. So you will conduct electricity more, and therefore the e-meter will kind of jump and skyrocket. Now, they use they really truly believe that the e-meter is a religious artifact, okay? And that it has great powers. So when they'll ask you a question, they'll sit you down, they'll audit you. This is the only one that they do for free, by the way. They'll ask you a couple
the
questions.
The first one's always free.
First one is always, always free. But the first questions that they're going to ask you, they're going to be like, okay, do you find yourself sort of like, you know, do you find that you're isolated from human beings, or do you find that you're often tense for no reason? They'll ask you questions that every human being has probably experienced in their lives, just being the frightened monkeys that we are. So after that test is done, obviously they want you to pay more, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to identify any time you have a strong response to something, because that's what they view as a cluster of bad thetans, of bad ingrams, these spirits that are there giving you all kinds of problems. So you need to get rid of them. It's like a leveling up system. But, you know, you have to pay for it. Like, that's how you do it. You need spiritual enlightenment? You just need money. Do you have money? You do. Oh, okay.
You can take out a second mortgage? All right.
Well, a lot of people do it. In fact,
a lot of people get, from what I was reading, a lot of people get screwed over pretty bad.
Well, it's not even just screwed over. Those people that don't, that really participate into it, because it is very much like a pyramid scheme. Essentially, it's based entirely on auditing. So the idea is this. I audit you, and I charge you $250 for the first audit. It goes up a lot from that, by the way. But in the $250, I have to take a part of that, and I have to give it back to the church. And I have to, if I'm sort of like part of somebody else's group who audited me, I pay them. So it's okay. Kind of like, in order for you to be able to make money, you need to audit as many people and train people to audit for you as much as possible. So the larger the base that you have, the more income's coming in. So if you want, let's say you're a really ardent believer, like you are gathering monies because you feel that you can reach a higher spiritual level, I guess. So you work like a dog, but most of the money that you're making, you're just feeding it right back into the organization, buying the fucking course manuals or whatever. I mean, it is a business religion. It's like, buy our products, work for us. You will be our indentured servants.
Build us a pyramid.
Build us a pyramid of wealth. And, I mean, look at Scientology. They're one of the wealthiest religions. There's what they claim 12 million members worldwide, and they even have members where it's not even where it's not even a recognized religion. In fact, in France, I mean, they're trying to shut these guys down pretty hardcore, because people have been complaining about being defrauded, and rightfully so. I mean, like, these organizations, do you think that it is fair to charge a person $500,000 to sit them down in a chair and yell at them, like,
and they can't move?
Like, auditors charge about $1,000 an hour on average. On average,
$1,000 an hour. I need to get in on this.
Well, think about Nancy Cartwright, right? I don't know how much she charges for auditing, but you can bet. You may remember her as the voice of Bart Simpson.
I was about to say, she's a Scientologist?
She's a Scientologist. In fact, she got into a lot of trouble a couple months ago when she released an audio cassette inviting people to go get audited as the voice of Bart Simpson. She got in a lot of shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Creepy. It was very creepy.
Of all groups of people, I would have thought that she would have known you know, where the copyright laws are, given their penchant for suing everybody under the sun who touches their material.
I'm not quite sure what she was thinking, but look, let's be honest here. Do you think that there's a lot of thinking going on in Scientology? Do you think that these people are thoughtful individuals? I mean, these individuals, first of all, they detest psychiatry. And you might be wondering, why do they hate it so much?
It's evil.
Well, you know, it's very telling that a lot of what Dianetics talks about is some very, very simple tactics that were used in sort of like early psychiatry, like some of the techniques. Remember you saw this where like staring techniques or getting people to be motionless even when you're yelling at them and so on and so forth. These are very basic types of techniques in order to be able to get people to be under your control.
Mm-hmm.
To be more docile, essentially, is what you're trying to do. You're trying to get them accustomed to abuse. That is the best way that I can put it. And for them, they could you can obviously see why they would be so reticent of psychiatry, because you know, if you went over to a psychiatrist and you explained to them what you believe with Xenu and all this other kind of stuff, you would be in a lot of trouble. They would talk to you and they would say, no, something is wrong with you. And L. Ron Hubbard, you know, sort of like spread these false lies that psychiatry was started by Nazi scientists and all this other kind of bullshit, and that Sigmund Freud must have been a Nazi or something. It's like the guy was a Jewish atheist. I don't think he could have been more hated by the Third Reich, but, you know, let's not go there. I think that that's fucking weak form. But
right.
I want to hear, because I've been talking the entire time, I want to hear what you think. What is your impression of Scientology? Like, how you've come to understand it?
Well, I mean, it seems like a very... It seems like such a bullying little, like...
Don't speak negative about us,
well,
kind of thing?
Well, it smacks of, like strong-arm approach to faith, kind of like...
Oh, you mean because of their lawyering?
It's from what I understand, it's like next to impossible to leave. Like once you're in there, like, and it's Scientologists that have that whole fair game approach, right? Where if you say anything bad about them, they'll like openly publicize horrible, slanderous things about you that they may have uncovered in the...
Well, if you're not part of the church, you're what they refer to as a suppressive person.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
they may
exactly.
even abbreviate it and call you an SP.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But that's what I mean. It's like, that's so like... It's such an aggressive strain of religion.
Well, they're not the only ones that I would say are very aggressive. Jehovah's Witnesses are very aggressive. Mormons are very aggressive when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is when you're the small religion, you can't let anybody get away because it encourages others to apostatize. You know, that's the reason why a lot of religions, apostasy is a...
a fatal error.
It is it's a crime that is punishable by death, because... It almost feels to me that apostasy is for them the greatest threat, because as soon as someone's like, I don't need this anymore, everyone's like, hey, yeah, wait a minute, I don't need this either. So they're like, shut up, yes you do,
we'll kill you.
It's like, well, why should I listen to you? You don't know anything. You just you read a ridiculous Bronze Age book and you're trying to tell me how to live my life or how to treat my wife. You're not even married. Why am I listening to you? You took courses. Oh, I see. You took courses on marriage. Right. You never been married? Okay, yeah, I'm going to listen to you, fucking idiot.
Pretty much. But, yeah, that's what I was saying as far as Scientology is concerned. It's just, I mean, it's not an exclusive, it's not like Scientology has the exclusive right on crazy, like, semi-abusive, procedures, let's say.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But yeah. I would say that they're more systematic. Like, for instance, they've been caught a number of times, you know, into the an FBI headquarters to steal files on people and that kind of stuff. And you know, once you're viewed as an enemy, I mean, there have been many people that have killed themselves because of the degree of harassment. Like, there's a website that I'll link to, actually, with a podcast that just shows, like, what is the harm? That's the name of the site. Well, the harm is that people's lives are destroyed, people become bankrupt, they kill themselves, or they die because of mistreatment.
One of the things that I saw in this video was that this lady was warned by other people. It's like, if you ever leave, you'll be dead in 6 months. You'll have killed yourself within 6 months if you leave. Like, it's like,
that's a friendly group.
Fucking crazy.
That's a friendly group.
Yeah.
They just, like I said, I mean, Scientology for me is the ultimate business cult. I mean, they worship money. That's why they worship celebrities. Celebrities represent the kind of like the ideal that you want. If you're free of these negative engrams and these thetans that have abandoned you, you'll become successful. You will go on to have a movie career and be rich, and everyone will love you and powerful. And these are virtues. Yeah. You know, poverty is not a fucking virtue in Scientology. What the poverty? What
humility?
It's like poverty while paying the church. That's fine. Yeah, you can give me your money, but poverty is not an ideal. Wealth and power are ideals.
Yeah,
and it's you know, to some degree, if you look at, I think it's always funny that Scientology's main headline guys, say you got John Travolta and you got Tom Cruise, and they're like two of the big name guys, and they both share something in common: very credible rumors of homosexual activity.
Hey, you can keep them on your team. I don't.
No, I don't want them on my team.
I don't want them.
Fuck
on
you.
My team.
They're gay.
No. Well, they might. Okay. Well, Tom Cruise. Okay. Yeah. But you know, can we? No, I don't want him on my team.
Now I have to. You know, call me the cynic. Actually, call me the conspiracy theory guy. But
yeah,
I just get this feeling that, you know, they have a lot of dirt.
You imagine? Well. Celebrity gossip, like even the slightest indiscretion becomes this huge whirlwind of like, you know, like you a couple breaks up and it's all over everything. Could you imagine if there was something like really seedy, like dirty sex secret or yeah,
and everybody's
they would be destroyed.
Got one.
Oh yeah, of course, but they would be destroyed, totally destroyed.
It's everybody's got that embarrassing moment or whatever. Mine was 2 days ago when I was cleaning that shower, and it was so filthy and grimy that I had to use a toilet brush to wash it, and I had to wash it naked. I literally had to wash it naked. It was dehumanizing. It was completely dehumanizing. And I did it because my room, like the landlady gave me shit last time. Ryan's mom, our landlady, gave me shit because she was like, oh, I'm going to need to replace the bath if it's not clean, blah, blah. And you know what? Honestly, I do not want to get yelled at when she comes down. I'm like, it's my fucking apartment, but I can't just say, fuck off, lady. So I humiliate myself and clean it naked on hands and knees. So there you go.
So is this, are you sharing this with the listeners so that should this podcast make it on the desk of a Scientologists, they won't have anything to humiliate you with.
I think that I think the best way to be is just to be as open as possible, and no one really has any dirt. Because I'm like, somebody could say, "Oh yeah, well I got pictures of you doing this embarrassing thing." I'm like, everybody that's a paying member knows, man. It's like my life is a fucking, you know, I spill open the beans book to thousands of people. I don't give a shit. I mean, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you guys are just so far away. You might as well not be around. I mean, like, all you need to be worried is what your neighbors think, because they're the ones who can call the police.
There you go.
But apart from that, somebody who just lives thousands of miles away in fucking Denmark,
yeah,
is nobody I'm worried about.
There you go.
I'm not worried about it. Scientology, fuck you, man. You ain't got no dirt on me. You'll never have any dirt. I'll tell you one story. When I was living in Toronto 2003, I didn't know anything about Scientology, and I was thinking about going inside and seeing what the hell was this...
Before you became super critical thinker, Jacob, or was this?
No, like, this was before. Well,
actually thinking of joining?
Well, I mean, I didn't know anything about it. I mean, okay, here was a book with an exploding volcano.
That's
I was intrigued.
True.
Who is not intrigued by an exploding volcano?
Are his books also the ones that have that crazy fist holding the earth and it's got this like studded collar on the wrist? That's his books too, right?
I don't think so.
Isn't it? Like,
I think that's a cover of like an Iron Maiden album or something.
Oh, you mean he's not an Iron Maiden?
Let me just say, I mean, I'm aware of the picture you're talking about. I don't think anyone would be so bold as to make a religious book.
No, not a religious book, a fantasy book or a fiction book.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
I remember one of my friends had this book by L. Ron Hubbard. And
he's terrible. I have one of his books called Typewriter in the Sky. It's awful. He is a terrible, terrible, terrible writer. But you know why he made a living? Because there were not that many science fiction writers back then. So, you know. You're like, oh, you write science fiction. Oh, there you go. They're like, this, fine, whatever. This is science fiction. We'll publish it. We need to find something. And you've been recommended by X. So, okay, whatever.
My
I don't
secretary
care.
Reads your books.
I mean, you know what? There's always people that read terrible books. I mean, you think Twilight is good per se.
Per se. You beat me to it. How many times? 100 and...
I think it's 150 or something 150 ridiculous.
150 times.
150 times that the author uses per se. I don't know about the second book. But I find myself, you know what, like I'll admit my book will probably have either actually or according to this or consider this. Okay. It'll probably have a sick amount of that, but I think that's probably better than a per se.
We'll have to play the good atheist drinking game when the book comes out.
Well, you know, you can always play that game and say, how many times does Jacob say something asinine? Take a swig. Take a swig. Every time he's offensive or swears, I think that would be fair too. A swearing one. So fucking take a drink right now.
Oh.
Bitches.
Bitches.
Oh, you go get drunk. You go get drunk. Okay, you know what? Let's see. Is there anything else I want to say about Scientology? You know what I find kind of creepy, though? I mean, here's the thing. We don't really understand what Hollywood Scientology must be like, because I always wonder, why are all these celebrities in Scientology? Mm-hmm.
You gotta wonder if they get a bunch of different
treatment. I mean, I know they do. I've heard that they do, but I don't know how they do. Like, no one is very specific. They're just saying, oh, if you're a celebrity, you get a different Scientology. And I'm like, what is that Scientology like?
How come they get fast-tracked? Oh, it's the Greens money.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, everything is based on auditing, which is based on money. So if you can afford it...
You can burn through 20 audits in an afternoon.
Well, the church actively seeks out celebrities. I mean, they've never denied that fact. And they get celebrities to recruit for them. I mean, Tom Cruise always has a tent at all of his movies, and he talks to people about Scientology. He tries to actively convert people. And, you know, to some degree, if I was in Tom Cruise's position, I would probably have a free-thinking tent myself. You know, I'd probably be trying to deconvert people. That's who I am. So I can't shit on him too much for being...
For doing his job.
For representing.
It's the same thing with, like, when I see the Jehovah's Witnesses by the Metro on Saturday, it's like, I'm not interested in what you have to say, but, you know, you're doing what you think you have to do.
Well, it's like, I agree with Penn Jillette that if you have a belief, you should be proselytizing. You should be talking to other people about it, because if it's worthy, if it's worthwhile, if you think that it's done something good for you, you should talk about it. Now, with that said, if you come up against a brick wall and your arguments don't make any sense, your beliefs aren't consistent or logical, you know, maybe it's time to abandon those kinds of beliefs. It's just one of those things. You know, you can mature. You can admit when you're wrong. You know, I've admitted I've been wrong about many things. Ghosts, conspiracy theories. What else? What other bullshit do you used to believe in? I don't know.
Ugh,
I think every person who used to believe in stupid, retarded stuff feels like they need to turn things around and make up for it.
I need to make up for those years I said, I'm going to get a camera and take photos in the cemetery of ghosts.
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. I was 18. That's the excuse, but I still feel stupid now.
Oh, God. Some of this, like, the UFO stuff.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, was I talking about that stuff, too, back then? I must have been, like, I don't know. If I was anything like I am now, I must have been really hardcore about it.
I don't remember much other than that you were gung-ho about the Kennedy assassination. I think that was the only one I remember. Was it the Kennedy assassination?
Yeah, I had read a book called The Lone Assassin by Jim Garrison. Basically, this guy used to be the district attorney of Louisiana, and he tried to bring... He believed there was a conspiracy, and he tried to, you know, try this guy called Clay... I don't remember his last name. Anyways, doesn't matter. Basically, he tried to bring him to trial because he said he was the one responsible, and there was like this huge conspiracy. And it all sounded plausible, man. It was like fucking A to B to C to D. And I was reading, and I'm like, yep, he convinced me. It's like, holy moly, he got death threats? Oh, no. Like, people were trying to tell him to suppress his information. And then I realized one thing. Like, I have to take this guy at his word, 100% at his word. He's trying to sell a book here. he's also trying to defend his actions, which seemed to me at least very premature. I mean, like, the guy didn't even have a case. It was an embarrassment. You know, he lost his job as a consequence. You know, like, he took a well-respected member of society and he tried to try them for the assassination of John F. Kennedy. What do you think that does to your career?
Yeah, it's suicide.
That's a career suicide. Yeah. So, you know, I read that and I believed that, fuck, that was stupid. That was stupid. But, you know... I'm sort of coming out of it now.
I would think that's more humiliating than the naked shower story.
What, believing in conspiracy theories?
Hardcore believing in conspiracy theories.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, when you're a conspiracy theorist and you go digging for information, you can find so much of it. And it's so enticing. It's so fucking enthralling. It's like you're watching. It's like you're living
Unsolved
National
Mysteries.
Treasure. 2 or National Treasure 3 or Unsolved Mysteries.
I love Unsolved. I just wanted to use Unsolved Mysteries, man. If I could have Robert Stack narrate my life, everything I did would be so intense. Like, and then he went in to get some toast.
Oh, man. That show scared the shit out of me. Because you know what? Here's the thing. All the criminals were always coming up to Canada.
Fleeing to Canada. Last scene, fleeing to Canada. And I live by the border.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not even just that. It's like, look, when a person says fleeing to Canada, you know, 90% of the population is close to the border, all right? And we're not in, you know, we're still pretty close together. We still coalesce in towns and cities.
Well, the northern part of Canada, like...
It's like, they're not going to the north. If they're going anywhere, they're going to Montreal.
They're coming here.
You got to go to where it's populated, blend in. You do not go to the country where there's three fucking houses. You will be found out.
Yes.
But the city is perfect. So when you're living in a city, you know, like I was living in Sherbrooke at the time. I was scared shit. It was like the largest, third largest city in the province. So you're like, there's one in three chances this motherfucker came down here. It's like, luckily,
right,
I mean,
around the quarter.
I don't know why I thought that. I mean, an English guy, I mean, it's a French province. Why would he go to Quebec? That's stupid.
Yeah.
You couldn't understand what the hell was going on. So there was no reason for me to be afraid. But yeah, Robert Stack, he's a fucking...
Yeah,
he's intense.
Seriously. And not just because he was Ultra Magnus in the Transformers movie. You know, I had to work that in. Sorry. I had to work that in.
I have to wonder how effective Robert Stack would be if he was a Scientologist.
I think he'd be pretty damn effective.
I think it would scare the bejesus out of anybody.
Now you're going to tell me your most embarrassing... I know it's a terrible Robert Stack impression, but whatever.
Yeah, you know what? I can... If I close my eyes and I...
Yeah, okay. And
stop breathing and I pass out. Sounds like him.
It sounds like him, yeah, exactly. But...
that's all I hear.
But anyways, yes. Let's assume that I sounded exactly like him and I was asking him to, you know, retell your scariest childhood memories.
Let's assume.
That was an amazing impression.
That was amazing. All right, you know what? Let's wrap this up. The last thing I want to say about Scientology, because I'm gonna try to write an article about it. I'm not done. I mean, this is finished with you. I'm just starting to dig around the dirt, and I want to go back to the before we finish the whole David Miscavige thing, like the abusing people and that kind of stuff, which was originally what we were talking about. I'm like, I'm not entirely surprised that a person who calls himself the leader and who commands an incredible amount of power. Can you imagine this guy? He basically has 12 million people at his beck and call.
12 million disciples.
He's like the business pope. What he says, they do. And, you know, I'm really, really not surprised that such a person would be...
An abusive piece of shit.
Yeah, basically sort of like, are you not listening to me? Do you not know who I am? I mean, I have to imagine that when you're on a power trip, it feels fucking good, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I mean, it's like everyone is a worm compared to you. And you're like, yeah, I say fucking jump and you say how high. And then all of a sudden you get one son of a bitch who does not, you know,
jump
kneel.
Fast enough.
Yeah, he gets a little sass mouth.
Yeah.
He gives you a little... face. It's like, what is that? You looking at me funny? Yeah, you're going to be seeing funny after I hit your head over with this brick. I'm not saying hit anybody in the head with a brick.
No, but the imagery is funny, so we'll go with it.
I like
he
it.
He bludgeoned a man in his office.
With the brick.
There you go. See, now
he
that...
brought it from outside.
He knew that there would be some smackdown.
There
would be a sass mouth in there.
There always is. Someone who has to be brought in line. And you know that's definitely the part about being a leader of anything that is inevitable, bringing someone in line.
You got to keep exactly.
And I can only imagine when you look like, oh, I don't know, a dickless piece of shit like David here, you probably do feel that you need to have special powers over people. But you know what? I'm going to say this to David. I'm like, enjoy your cult while you still can. You know because you look at what's happening in, say, the United Kingdom, where 60% of young people say that religion has a negative impact on the world. I'm like, we are leaving these kinds of beliefs behind. We don't need it. We're sick and tired. Like, that's the old generation. That's people who needed to believe in some fucking sky god in order not to go crazy. We don't need that. You know, we have access to so many different thoughts and ideas where we all begin to see what's real and what's fucking bullshit. And 75 million years ago being implanted by Ingrams and hydrogen bombs on Tijiak. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Xenu, Galactic Overlord. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the stupidest shit I've ever heard. Like, this is literally stupid.
It seems that if you're going to sell a lie, you got to sell, like, a big lie. Yeah.
Yeah, the bigger the lie, I guess, the more believable. The person's going to be, say, like, there's no way you'd make this up. It is too outrageous.
Exactly.
It's kind of like, yeah. you ever notice when you're trying to lie, you'll always embellishing it too much? Like, a person will ask you, where were you last night? And you were like, oh, I went out with the guys, but then, oh, we had a flat tire. And then you're just yeah. trying too hard. Yeah. Oh, how to
biker
over...
gang chased us.
Oh, my God. And yeah, the more the details, the more people realize this is fucking bullshit. If it can't be described to me in, you know, relative ease, you're making this up. You're making this up. So why are we surprised that Scientology makes it up? Anyways, we will be continuing our coverage of Scientology slowly but surely as I learn more. I'd like to say a big thank you again to our paying members who are the ones that are listening to the show. They're not technically paying for the show. They're paying for the privilege of listening to the show. That's different. They're paying for membership to hear it. You know, 1 year.
Sure.
1 year is what you purchased. And from that date... we shall charge you another mighty fee.
Of
$20. There's a new thing that I'm toying around with, and I'm going to tell this to the paying members, is I'm going to try to develop a new product for you guys, just because I think this would be a great way to really blaspheme, is that I want to start selling rapture insurance that I call rapture. And this is sort of insurance you can buy so that when Jesus comes again, you won't be left unprepared because, yeah, hey, you know what? Apparently, they said those Christians really feel as though that's happening. So, hey, why not be safe?
I would agree.
Because we're not being whisked up to heaven, are we?
No, I don't think I'm going there.
So why not have, like, why not live the big life? The fucking awesome life. And I think that you should encourage your Christian friends to buy some for you. You know, if they really care about you and you're like, well, listen, I'm not going to believe in your God. I can't do it. But can you at least make it so that I have a good life when the rapture comes, you know, because I'll be printing
you guys
rapture dollars.
Yeah, they won't need money where they go anyway.
Yeah, they won't need money, so they
we'll
can give it to
money.
You. So the whole idea will be to try to convince your friends to buy insurance for you. And I think that that's going to be a good thing. Not to quote Martha Stewart.
It's okay.
All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
And I, who wasn't really the host, Jeffrey Jones. I know,
sorry,
I had
Jeff.
Them going. I had them going.
You started off strong.
I did, and then I lowered the boom in the last half.
It's okay. One day we're gonna give you an entire show. I'm not even gonna talk.
Oh, that'll be dangerous. That'll be scary.